Hi, everyone. Welcome to the summer meeting of the Bay City USA Ashland Subcommittee. It's the 30th of June.
Great. Okay. So we have most of the committee here. I was hoping we would have a guest, Carolyn Reed, who has applied to be on the committee. Yeah, this is our first meeting since we did our couple of goal setting meetings back in January and March. So let's see, we don't have anyone new, so we don't need to do introductions. Shall I just go on, start through the agenda then? Go approval of the minutes of the March 29th, I think it was. March 29th. Did folks have a chance to read through those?
Yes.
Any comments or edits that you'd like to mention?
What do you think of my description of the goals? It was a very wide-ranging discussion, narrowed down to three main headers, and then all had subheaders, but did that seem to capture where we were going?
Anyone else? I mean, you usually do as good a job as certainly I could try and refining, because we've really, you know, always had really wide ranging and diverse discussions, and we keep trying to focus down. Let's not try and do too many things. I think it's pretty reflective of what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't want to take things, you know, we didn't want to limit it too much or take too many things off of the goals and priorities. But I think having that all for the record there is really good, and that we'll be able to then prioritize and sequence them. Some of them are obviously backburnered because we're all so busy, but they're still on the list so that we won't forget about them. So what I did for today's meeting is I just brought that block of text, which describes all of those bullets and sub-bullets, into today's memo. That way we won't forget, even if we have to backburner some of it temporarily.
Good minutes.
Does that mean you move to approve, Christina?
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Sure. I'll second that too. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Yeah. Yeah. Any objections or any further edits? Okay. Minutes approved.
I think we're supposed to raise our hand if everybody approves. Hey, look at that. Okay. And it passes.
Okay. I don't see any members of the public here, so that portion of the meeting we can go right past. Any additions or changes to the agenda? Okay. So unfinished business then. We have a couple of updates from staff and then on SOU student participation. Who's speaking for staff? Is that Libby or Rachel?
I feel like maybe Rachel should hit number one and I can hit number two.
Okay.
Sure. So, you know, we're talking again about budget cuts. The city council at their June 12th meeting approved a supplemental budget that would reduce about $350,000 from Parks and Recreation in this next, coming into this next fiscal year, so starting July 1st. So Director Black is looking at some more cuts. While we don't know exactly what's going to happen, as far as, you know, we're looking at, you know, a range of options from, you know, staff reductions to materials and services reductions to vehicle, our vehicle, I can't remember what it's called, but you know, any replacements of vehicles, things like that. But $350,000 is a huge amount for us to take on, especially after the fact that we've already cut and, you know, reduced our staffing during COVID by 6 staff members that we haven't gotten back. So that's happening. Michael will be taking a recommendation, or Director Black will be taking a recommendation to the Parks Commission at the next Wednesday's study session, a special meeting. And then there's also an initiative going on the ballot asking, on June 5th or July 5th, the City Council is being asked to put a question of dedicated food and beverage tax on the ballot for November. So that's going on. That's going to be hopefully part of the City Council meeting on Tuesday, July 5th. Yeah, the day after the 4th. So if that happens and they approve that initiative, then the Friends of Ashland Parks and Open Space would not have to gather the required, I think it's about 3,000 signatures. So that's kind of where we're at with funding right now. There's lots of things in limbo, but I still come to work every day and I'm hopeful. We're all trying to be hopeful. So is there any questions on that? Or I wish I could be more specific on the cuts and the reductions, but like I said, we're running a lot of scenarios right now, and I don't want to put anything out there that, you know, we're just not sure of. So.
Right.
I have a question about the signatures. So is any citizen of Ashland able to collect signatures? And this would just be for residents of Ashland proper, right? This isn't to be out in the...
So there's a group, the friends that have been organizing. And if you want more info, I know that they started tabling this week at the Growers Market. And they're organizing. If you want more information on how you can help with that, I can get you. Mike Gardner, one of our former Parks Commissioners, is in charge of that effort.
Oh, good.
And so I can get you his information if you just get a contact.
Okay, good. Well, hopefully we won't have to collect the signatures, but that's good. Thanks.
Leslie, I think you had your hand up, and I was going to ask you if you had a commissioner's perspective for us too.
Yeah, I'm going to try this. There's a lot of background noise. Can you hear me? I'm turning off the video in the hopes that makes it better.
Yes, we can. Yes.
Okay.
But
and I apologize if Rachel already said this, but I think it's worth noting that one of the cost-cutting measures that are being considered is consolidating and reducing meetings of councils, advisory councils, and subcommittees, as well as staffing of those. So that is currently under consideration. Just, I think it's worth noting that B-City USA is one of the many subcommittees and advisory councils that are going to be looked at and sort of evaluated as to whether We only meet quarterly, which is good, but we do have two staff members that support the group. And so it kind of remains to be seen whether support of this subcommittee gets reduced or how that's going to work. But I just thought I should mention it. It was discussed in the last meeting.
Yeah, I'll just chime in and just say that Leslie's correct. And we haven't, we're kind of just in a wait and see mode right now to see, there was a proposal, but I know that there was city councilors that did have concerns with some consolidation. So we're kind of waiting to see what the next steps are and what the plan could be before, on Parks and Recreation end that we do anything at this point. So. Yes, it's true. We do. There's a lot of commissions and committees in the city, but we also look at those commissions and committees as people that are dedicated and advocating for things throughout the city that they care about. So I think just kind of at this point, waiting and seeing what happens at the council level, and then, you know, commenting on that when appropriate is probably the best, way to proceed at this point.
Would you suggest that we write something as individuals to council, or where would we send our comments now rather than trying to time it to when one of the things that's that I've noticed this spring and trying to keep up is that you can't tell what agenda something is going to be on, and then by the time you find out about it, it's too late to make a realistic, really thought through comment.
Sure. I know. I know there's been some challenges with getting the agendas up in a timely fashion, and things seem to change once those agendas are posted. So my suggestion would be at this point, I think that the city manager had a proposal out at the June 12th meeting, looking at that proposal. And then if you want to respond to that proposal, I can find the information and email it out to the group, but I would suggest getting hold of city councilors at this time. So emailing city council, calling your city councilors in that respect for if you do have any concerns or ideas with that.
Leslie.
Hi, thanks. So first off, in terms of getting in touch with city council, I think it's far more important right now to contact city council and ask them to approve the Friends of Ashland Parks and Rec proposal on the ballot, because, you know, we just recently sent an urgent request to city council. This would avoid us having to get 3,000 signatures in order to get the food and beverage levy allotted to APRC, you know, for the next several years. I can't remember how long. So that would be tops, but I don't think city council has any say at all in what APRC does in terms of how they cut their budget. So if you want to advocate for the importance of B-City USA, you would just send that to commissioners and Michael Black and Rachel, because I mean, it's, I'm not sure it would do much, because the amount of cuts are so huge that everything has to, there's nothing that's not under consideration, but, you know, and I think we could survive with one staff member instead of two. And a lot of these advisory councils and subcommittees may be more independent now in order to save staff time, but they still exist or meet less often. But I think the most important thing in terms of contacting city council would be to urge them to approve putting the food and beverage proposal onto the ballot without forcing us to get 3,000 signatures.
Okay. Yeah. No. That's a really important distinction, Leslie. Yeah. Thanks. And I really do want to encourage people. I mean, even I have gotten pretty kind of lazy and reluctant about writing comments, but just something really simple. You know, why we value being part of the B-City USA committee, and send that to APRC and to Michael Black, so they can have something quasi-written, electrons that that spell words.
So just to make sure I'm clear, because the city council could only really suggest eliminating commissions and subcommittees, they couldn't tell Ashland Parks and Recreation Commission to eliminate their citizen subcommittees. And because of that, that decision rests with the commissioners. And so if you wanted to make a statement about the importance of citizen subcommittees like this one in APRC, it would go to the commissioners. That would be the more appropriate people to hear that statement. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, you're correct. And sorry, I apologize about that. So the council, while the council is making decisions on their committees and looking at moving some to ad hoc, Parks Commission right now we were going to put like a smaller committee together to talk about some of the commissions and committees within Parks and Recreation, But I think right now we're kind of in a wait and see mode to see what is finalized with council before we decide if we're going to make any changes to our committees. So I think if I can clarify that anymore. So.
Yeah, I just I do want to say though that I think this is a really important time to make those kinds of supportive statements and to make them in writing as individuals to Michael and Parks Commission, and that it's up to them to put them in a file and keep track of it. But you know, we don't need to just be on top. We won't need to continually be on top of which decision is City Council or the Parks Commission considering this week. Okay, moving on then to the East Main Park planning process. What do we have about that? Or were you hesitating, Libby?
Sure, I'm happy to do a little bit about that, but I wanted to see whether there was something, whether there was an action item in what Kate just said. I missed it. Did you say that you'd like staff to keep you updated? Because it's difficult to understand what's coming up on the agenda.
I'm asking individual members of the committee to write something electronically, or on paper, but electronically is fine. Email will be fine. Send it to Michael Black and to the commissioners. Just, you know, as briefly or as much length as you want. just stating why you appreciate this and any other committee that exists to advise staff. But just to go ahead and do that now, because we know the subject is up and we don't know when somebody's going to make a decision about it. But I don't think I can, I don't want to, I'm not trying to make that an action item for the committee.
Well, thanks for clarifying.
Yeah.
So the next point on the agenda is a request for an update about the East Main Park planning process, which has been kind of quiet lately. And I asked at a management level meeting yesterday to see if I could acquire an update for you all. And the short answer is that it's moving at a snail's pace for the moment because of the obvious focus that everyone, including staff and commissioners, are having to put on the budget and the changes that are being brought by City Council. And so they wanted me to assure you all that as that begins to pick up, when and if that begins to pick up speed again, you will definitely be invited. All the B City Committee members would be invited to weigh in and discuss that project with, I think, Tara and Michael and a few other staff people who are working on the project and the design. I think it was just the assurance that it is moving forward, but slowly, and that you weren't out of the loop. It's just that it's not progressing at the pace that you might be thinking, and that when it does pick back up again, you are on the call list. And they wanted to know whether you be interested in meeting in person, perhaps. And I was like, yes, this committee is very interested in that park and would very much like to meet in person when that starts moving forward again. So does that sound reasonable? I think everybody wanted to be involved and wanted to have their voices heard, but we may have to wait a little bit.
Is it, as I recall, because there was some long meetings that Albert and I and maybe others listened in on, taking comment and with the contractors. The contractor going ahead with the next phase of design on their own. Because I'm not surprised that that they haven't made a deliverable and between staff and other advisory committees. We haven't had any more meetings about it, but the contractor might be doing the work.
I don't know the answer.
My understanding is that the company we're working with that's doing the design, my understanding was that they may be involved as well with those groups that they're going to be meeting with. So I think it's Piper Von Chaumier that's doing the actual design. And my understanding is She is most likely going to be involved in those meetings with some of the user groups, so including Bee City. So I don't think that, I'm not sure how far we are in the design, but I know that the next step was to meet with all of the user groups, which is obviously moving slowly. So things may be a little on hold. So
some of the other groups include representatives of community gardens, representatives of mountain biking, and you all. So you haven't been forgotten about. We'll keep you updated when that starts moving.
I have a question. There is a subcommittee for East Main Park. Is that correct? Yeah.
It's a staff subcommittee with, I think there might be a commissioner or two on it.
Right. Do they have open meetings, or like this is an open meeting, anybody can make a public comment. Do they have open meetings or meetings like that?
Yeah, they're not public meetings at this point. It's not a requirement. So they're just reporting back. And they haven't, my understanding is they haven't met in quite a long time because of other staff priorities. So.
Okay.
I don't know. It does seem a little confusing to call it a subcommittee when the rules of it are so different from what we do here.
Right.
You know, when you say that something is a subcommittee, it seems like it's got this part of public process and, you know, public input and people can attend. It may be more like a staff working group or
an ad hoc committee. So, which was created for the East Main Park. And I don't think there's a requirement for public meeting. Although I know that I hope there's not people that feel like we're hiding information. I think we're trying to be as transparent as possible about East Main. It's just moving along really slowly, and it might be frustrating for some people, but we're kind of just at the point where we're doing the best we can right now.
I mean, I almost think that this gray area is one of the things that the city is struggling with because of the amount of staff time that gets committed to these kinds of inputs, but calling it any ad hoc committee that has a member of non-staff seems like, you know, it's like I was on the ad hoc water committee. It was always a public meeting. There was always minutes generated. But it's a project. I'm not trying to push it that way, but it's a gray area in public meetings law.
So in your experience, Kate, when something is called an ad hoc committee, does that usually mean that there's a member of the public sitting on it who's not a staff person, not a commissioner?
Yeah.
Is that the case in this one, or is it all just staff and commissioners talking about a project?
No, there's representatives from the mountain bike community, and I don't know where else, but there's a couple people who aren't staff or commissioners, yeah.
Who are in the room for that ad hoc?
I'm assuming so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why we keep asking about us. I was like, there's one interest group, so what about the other interest groups?
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. You obviously both understand that that Bee City is super interested in the park design, and just like we like to be part of this committee, we'd really like to be in the informal discussions, not just like the mountain bike community. If the mountain bike community is influencing the design of that park, then native plantings and water conservation ought to be too. So, okay, anyone
I'll
else?
Pass that along. Duly noted.
Yeah, thanks, Rachel. I mean, we really did. I mean, Michael and me know that the meetings that I've taken part in that Michael is the lead person on, he does a really good job. He's really, he's careful in how he words things. He doesn't show emotional reaction when somebody says something really arrogant. that's just a different kind of meeting for when we're trying to provide technical input and understand the various the various pressures that are complicating the decisions, right? We, you know, we're not trying to dominate, we're trying to be part of a problem solving conversation that's that happens while the design is going on. Okay. Next we had the Pollinator Week proclamation. I'd be interested to hear what Libby has. I had actually written to the mayor reminding her of it in early April, and she says, oh yeah, absolutely, I'll take care of it. And I think it got lost in all the other budget meetings and stuff, because even if she did forward it to the city manager, it didn't appear anywhere.
I'm agreeing with you on that, Kate. I don't have any more information than you do. I felt like we got a definite yes that the mayor was in support of this and would be moving it along onto the agenda. So I felt like her message was clear. I just didn't hear any more about it. And I feel like perhaps I should apologize, because I have been recovering from surgery. And so I did not have that on my radar as something to like follow back up on. I just, once it kind of moved through and was over in their court, I did not follow back up on Pollinator Week, and I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Don't apologize. Cause I, you know, there's, you, when you hand it off to someone and you expect, and you say, you know, I've already given you the link to the previous proclamation. Let me help you with this. If they don't get back to you, it's like, we're not supposed to be sitting there pinging everybody. We already get enough email that we don't need to read.
And I was looking back at the annual report to see what the language says, and it says something like, did your city council or mayor or whatever your highest body is issue a proclamation about National Pollinator Week last summer? So they didn't even, in the language, it doesn't even say, in the language of the annual report, it doesn't even say during Pollinator Week, before Pollinator Week, or anything like that. So we could ping the mayor again and just ask her to read it. And, you know, maybe her assistant, her aide, I don't remember who's there anymore. I used to talk with Mr. Schomburg's assistant, and maybe having that person take it on would be good. So anyway, that's just a suggestion. And so maybe it's not, you know, too late for them to do that.
Okay.
The language may be different though, because I'm looking at the proclamation now. So what it says is, therefore I fill in the blank, do hereby proclaim the day slash week of blank as our municipalities, counties observance of National Pollinator Week, and Ashland, in our case, as an affiliate of Bee City USA. So, I mean, if we wanted to ask this to happen, you know, later, it's better than never, I guess. Anyway, it's just a comment.
Okay. Yeah.
I like your suggestion, Christina, because I don't think it is too late to issue some sort of proclamation.
Right.
I think it helps, because it allows us to then, you know, go back and say, hey, this didn't happen. How can we revise it so that it will happen?
Right.
And in the rewording, since we're going to have to reword the proclamation anyway, since it's after Pollinator Week, we can think about what types of things we want the city council to hereby affirm, right? Mm-hmm. If the city council is, and the mayor isn't hereby affirming Ashland's participation in Pollinator Week, perhaps we change the wording to reaffirming our commitment to pollinators and Bee City USA initiatives, something like that. Something maybe is more tied directly to our existence or the initiatives that we're working on this year, rather than just declaring this is a special week.
Yes, and I agree with you, Libby, everything you said, but I do want to say that at the beginning of the proclamation, I did not read the whole thing. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 whereases before you get to the now, the therefore. And so it talks about pollinator species and how important they are and blah, blah, and all that.
And those are all good. Those just sound,
right,
I think.
Right. Those, but then, you know, we could add another whereas if we wanted to, I suppose.
It does allow us some flexibility there to reword as necessary, since it was going to be taken as wrote. It didn't go out the way that it was originally written. Let's rewrite it in a way that makes sense for what our committee cares about. Yeah, Leslie, no worries.
I'm wondering also if that's, I think it's a good idea to still try to have the mayor do something. I'll see if I can engage with her again in July here. Because right now the gardens look really great. I mean, all of the milkweed is coming into full bloom down, you know, and kind of like last week, Parks Department, about the heat wave, you know, the city made the announcement that they were going to open the cooling shelter, and then Parks issued a news release saying, hey, you know, we've got parks throughout town that have water features and have shade, and come on out and stay cool in the parks. And to be taking advantage of that and saying, hey, this is why we value our parks during this time when council is just hammering the budget and hammering whether or not people, you know, care that we have a great park system. Just another reminder.
It's not a bad idea, especially when if you are going to like affirm the importance of pollinator habitat, you could get a mention in about North Mountain Park and the demonstration gardens and the diversity of habitat we have going on out here, and the fact that I saw two monarch butterflies flying together just yesterday over the garden, two of them, which is a very special event. It went from being a very common event to something I have not seen in several years now. And now there are two. I haven't seen any caterpillars or eggs yet, but I'm excited.
Did you get it on film?
No, it was just me walking through the garden, of course, and I didn't have a way to capture it, but it has happened. And it just reminded me of the fact that this habitat is so important to a species that is imperiled and might possibly, maybe, if we're really lucky, be rebounding or have enough, you know, plasticity to be rebounding in the current time. But the fact that this exists and is available and could potentially contribute to that might need a mention.
Okay, cool. That's the beginning of a to-do for me for the month of July, I think, for sure.
Sorry, I have one more. Do you have, I found this proclamation back in an email from a long time ago that just happened to still be there. Mm-hmm. Should I forward this document on to whoever wants it so that you see what Bee City USA Central gave us a long time ago is what the proclamation is that I suppose all the mayors have been reading?
Sure, you can do that. I mean, I'm sure I've got them. I don't multitask and pull out. I can't do that and still pay attention to the meeting. I've seen the past ones. I've accessed the Bee City website, and I sent the John Stromberg's last one to the mayor in my reminder to her to do that this year. She took a long trip also back right before they started all the budget meetings, and anyway, yeah, busy time. Okay, the next unfinished business item is the SOU student participation. Leslie, do you want to start? Or do you have, does staff anything? Does Libby have anything?
Just a quick update. I haven't really heard from any students directly. I've reached out a couple of times to different people, Faye in particular, but she never got back to me directly. So other people may have more information than I do.
Yeah, I think the timing is bad because students kind of disappear in the summer. I'm a little confused. Faye's had a really rough couple years. She lost her home in the fire and had some real personal issues this year. But and she usually texts me very regularly, and she's kind of fallen off the map. I don't know if she's just unplugging for summer for a little bit. but I know she's really interested. I think she just might need some time after a long, hard year. But I'm very close with Faye. She works as a student worker in our department, and I normally during the school year see her almost daily, and she's taken most of my classes. So, and I am, and I guess, I mean, I assume Christina can speak to whether she's been active in the pollinator project at all. I know she's supposed to be interning or working there, but yeah, I'm actually like slightly worried about her because this has been the longest time that I've not been in touch with her. In terms of the pollinator club at SOU, I do know that there's one student that was interested, but I figured since I had the personal and professional connection with Faye that she just was the obvious choice. But I guess I could reach out to the other student from the pollinator club that told me he was interested and see if he wants to apply as well. I'm not sure. I think the problem really is that it's summer.
So Leslie, who I met Bex Walker at their Earth Day tabling. What's her role?
Bex is the sustainability director of sustainability at SOU. She's gonna start teaching one of our sustainability. We just added a sustainability major within the environmental science and policy department. So there's now a sustainability major and minor at SOU that we run. And so we've convinced Bex to teach a class. I think it's called Sustainability and Natural Resources. She's been in the position about 2 years. And she's extremely busy. It's extremely hard to get her to take stuff on. You're welcome to try, but I've tried to get her involved with things. She's required to be on the Climate Policy Commission for her position with SOU, so she does that. But in the past,
or the campuses?
No, the cities. She's required to sell it for her job, but I've tried many times to get her involved in projects that are city related or otherwise, and she's her plate is pretty full, but that is her role, and we work with her a lot. She's been doing like huge waste audits and working to recertify campus as the STARS program. We recently made it to gold because of her auditing and recording documentation efforts. And she has a team of students underneath her, of which actually Faye is not part of Beck's sustainability team. But yeah, that is that's another avenue. There's a handful of very overcommitted, enthusiastic students that work with Beck's as well.
Mm-hmm.
It occurs to me that we might want to spread a kind of a wide net in trying to find people to commit, because there's been some interest. I mean, we have Carolyn Reed, who's one of our garden volunteers, who submitted an application. Yep. We have another person who I think her name might be Grace, that Nancy connected with, who, you know, invited her to put in an application and be part of the committee, and Faye as well. But the follow through seems to be difficult for all of these folks. And maybe it's timing, maybe it's how burdened they are with other activities, but the more people we talk to, maybe the more likely one of them will stick. So talk to lots of people, and the Pollinator Club is absolutely invited. Even if we were to have Faye, we could have Faye and the Pollinator Club if she does manifest after the summer. There's no problem with having too many people, and I think that it's likely we won't have too many. It's likely we'll be lucky if we have one that sticks.
Okay, I wasn't really sure that was how these meetings worked, that like, so any member of the public can kind of participate in it, because that's not the way the other groups work.
So here's how I would explain it. Any member of the public can come to the meeting, and we've been pretty inclusive of involving them in the discussion, even if they're not a voting member. So they can come for sure. And then if they come to a meeting, and they listen to the discussion and maybe they can contribute if they want to. They wouldn't be a voting member until they submitted an application. The application has been voted on and approved by the commission, and then they're on as a voting member of the committee. But I think it would be nice to have more people who were interested in coming to the meeting, even if they didn't go all the way through it. So like, I kind of was trying to judge Faye's level of interest. Like, Faye, you can absolutely come. If you want to be a part of the committee officially, here's the application that you need to do. And I didn't want that to be too confusing, but it is kind of like a two-tiered level of involvement.
Your communication with her has been totally clear. I just, I'm going to text her again right now just to see if I can get a response. But.
And if student members from SOU who are interested in pollinators or are part of the pollinator club just as an extracurricular thing want to attend these and hear what we're talking about and maybe chime in and see if they're interested in any of the things, they can absolutely just tell me that they're a citizen of Ashland who wants to come to the committee, and then I'll send them the Zoom link.
If I can make it just a suggestion, maybe you just put this, and if you have other I don't know if you have any other applications or if she's even submitted an application, but maybe just kind of put it on hold and keep, I mean, you could do some advertising, and if people want to be a committee member and go through that process, and if people do submit applications, you know, Kate could evaluate those and bring them back to this committee to as potential, you know, membership opportunities.
Well, we reached out to the to the leaders of the Pollinator Club, and they said they pushed that out to the club and that there was a lot of interest, but I honestly don't think the follow through happened to select. Like, I thought it would be good to give them the opportunity to pick someone who is serious and then send them our way, but it sounds like that didn't happen. But yeah, we could do wider publicity, I suppose.
And one of the things that's, and y'all know I'm quite new to this. I'm not even a year in yet to attending the meetings. But the issue of once somebody becomes officially a member of the committee, then we can't meet in numbers. It's without it being a noticed meeting is really awkward. And yet we want. To me, what we can use help with is some, you know, the things that we as a group are most responsible for, such as the garden tour. Can we allow people who are not members of the committee but who are working on projects with us to attend regularly and allow them to be part of the conversation? Right, that's the distinction between in a membership committee. Between, you know, who talks it's about the meeting management, and sometimes, you know, there's official requirements, right? You can't just allow anybody to talk anytime. You see what I'm getting at, where it may be that the Pollinator Club is interested, but they don't see what we're doing that they would be helping with, right? So that if we had a work group, for example, to help Nancy and Christina or Nancy and me work on next year's garden tour, you know, that would be doing outreach. It would, you know, you'd have specific tasks assigned to try to get stuff done. But if they're not, because they would not be members of the committee, then we wouldn't be required to have a noticed meeting in order to work.
Looks like Christina has her hand up.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Go ahead, Christina.
Hi. So one of the other populations to reach out to either join the committee officially or to create working groups would be our BCD USA Gardener people. And a lot of them, of course, are retired and or don't have a job. So if we're looking at help with tours, and some of them have helped a little bit in the past, but that's when Nancy and I were a lot more active, and so we did a lot of the work. We had Carolyn Hunsaker involved too, and so we were the ones that, you know, like Carolyn helped so much with the pamphlet the last time we did one. And so if we're working on the tour as a big thing for next year, then that would be a nice little letter to send out to people. We have their email, all their email addresses, knowing of course that there's a number of people that are no longer living here. So they may have an approved garden, but they're no longer really on the list because they don't live there anymore. But that would be a good population to reach out to. And some of them might want to join or just help with the tour.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And considering someone who could get involved at different levels, I was trying to kind of imagine what a student participant would want from the experience. And so a student participant might want something that goes on their resume that says they were actually a voting member of the subcommittee, because that could really be a valuable thing for them in terms of, you know, their resumes. But for a retired gardener who is a certified BCUA gardener, I think they might find it really fulfilling just to be involved in that project and might not want the commitment to coming to quarterly meetings, right? But they might be more project oriented. So that was kind of my thought, but obviously we'd have to talk to each potential volunteer and see what their goals were.
I have one more thought. What if the other idea, of course, too, is maybe revisiting this with the pollinator club, maybe revisiting this in the fall too, when students are back, and maybe inviting someone from the pollinator club to come and talk to Bee City at one of our meetings and talk about what the SOU Pollinator Club is doing and, you know, ways that the Bee City and Pollinator mm-hmm. Club could be, you know, working together, things that maybe they're doing that we're doing that we can combine our efforts. I mean, that would be a great use of part of a meeting at some point, I think.
Mm-hmm. Leslie.
This is kind of only loosely related to this conversation, but I just wanted to throw out there that the farm at SOU used to keep bees, but they've been lacking a beekeeper, a person that can help them and maintain and teach the students how to do that. And that's something that is really a loss. Like, we used to have produce honey on the farm, and it used to be a really great part of land stewardship, and it was a nice link. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. If you know anyone that is a beekeeper or would be interested in working with students, it would be so awesome to get that reestablished at the farm. And might be a great inroads to more communication and connections.
Yeah, no, you got me started thinking about the beekeepers versus native pollinators. You know, I think of myself as promoting native pollinators and native plants of all kinds. But there are beekeepers in the valley, and they have an organization. You know, they could, just like the pollinator club, they could be a guest topic at our meetings. It's just we don't. I was kind of wondering out loud whether these are working group outreach activities that could happen more often, right? With only having a quarterly official meeting, that sort of contact would be spread out really long term.
The beekeeping versus the all the other pollinators, and of course there's more pollinators than just bees. And since we're part of Xerces in some fashion, I just want to make sure that we make sure, I guess, that we don't overemphasize the honeybees, which are of course part of our agricultural landscape. But you know, with 600 species of native bees in Oregon, the honeybee is just one of them. Which horseflies, as we know, isn't native. So I just want to make sure that we don't overemphasize the agricultural aspect of bees, which would be the honeybees. I'm losing a word. What is it when you have livestock? Not yet. Livestock aspect of the honeybees is what I was asking for. Okay. And then I just happened to see a woman whose name is escaping me at the moment because I didn't think I would look this up. But she did her thesis, I guess, down in Berkeley. I could find it. And her study over a couple of years was the impact of honeybees on native bees in terms of the plants and the pollination. It was really interesting. She did say that there is definitely an impact based on the flowers that were pollinated or not. But then she said in an urban area, there is a little bit less impact than in a wildlands area, but her study showed that there's definitely an impact. So I just thought I'd mention that. And if you want me to follow up and find the woman's name, I can. I watched her whole presentation via Zoom. Interesting. So,
I'd like to see that, but that's Leslie.
I just wanted to respond to that real quick. Like Vincent Smith is the division director for business communications and environmental science, and he established a sustainability program, and he is still running the farm, and he does a lot to attract native pollinators as well. There's not really an overemphasis, I think, on the European honeybee. I just want to sort of say that there's a very integrated approach to the farm and sustainability on the farm. And this is like, there happens to be a need in the realm of beekeeping, but there really is an interest in native pollinators. And he's got all sorts of things all over the farm to attract various different native pollinators. And that's certainly emphasized as well. And it would also be fun to get involved in the farm in general. I think most of the Pollinator Club people are also working on the farm. So that is a good nexus.
Yeah, I had related thoughts that it's a farm, right? To what extent does this kind of farm need to or want to get away from relying on honeybees versus native pollinators?
I don't know. Vince could probably come close to answering that question, but definitely not me. Unfortunately, I don't get to spend very much time on the farm.
Right. Okay. So I think we've delighted a number of ideas. I'm interested in more targeted outreach, which would be but we can also consider doing advertising to look for more members and working group members. But I myself, I think, would be tending towards the fall. I'll be out of state for the entire month of August. But I can initiate some stuff in July in preparation for that work in the fall. Let's move on to the to new business. And I want to try to come up with a scheme to make sure that we finish. And we've got 35 minutes left in the meeting, and the last 5 minutes we need for administrative stuff. The three items of new business were Carolyn Reed's application, our goal work, and other committee member updates. Can we take up Carolyn Reed's application real quickly? She has a plot at North Mountain Park. I saw her name on it yesterday when I was down there. And I looked at her application. I have no objection at all to inviting her to join. Does anyone else have any different perspective? Okay.
She gardens with us almost weekly. So she's one of our demonstration garden volunteers who comes on Wednesdays. And she's great. I don't know why she's not here. That would be my only, that's the only thing that's a bummer, is that maybe she's it's possible that Carolyn isn't an email person. I don't know, because we always see her. So I was hoping that my emails to her, inviting her and updating her on the process, but it could be that she's not really an email person and she just kind of shows up at the gardening, and maybe I should have taken the time to talk to her face to face. That's my only hesitation about Carolyn.
So do we need to, I don't remember the process. I just assumed she was going to be here. But is one of the requirements of her being approved is that we all get to meet her? I don't know her. I mean, I would vote for her right now, just based on y'all's knowledge of her and reading her application. I mean, I would vote for her right now, but do we need to have her come to, is this one of the, you know, steps, is that she attend?
There's no, as far as I know, there's no requirement to her approval, other than she puts in the application, and if you all agree with it, then you bring her on and I notify her that she's on the committee, and then she would be at the next meeting a full voting member, and she would be then crucial to our quorum. That would be good to keep in mind as well. Right. But there's no, it's not necessary that she be here unless you all wanted to defer voting until you get a chance to meet her.
Right. What, two of the, well, Albert doesn't know Kate or Leslie or I, so, but you and Nancy, and I asked Nancy if she had anything that she wanted me to say or whatever. And she said, encourage the two new applicants to join, especially Carolyn, and then offer my apologies for missing. So
there was only one application. I think I think Nancy had another person who she was was on the right. hook, she thought, but slipped through.
I told her we only got one, but that's what her verbiage was. So she said, especially Carolyn. So I mean, I'm fine approving her, assuming that she is able to attend the meetings. Does she know the meeting dates and times? Well, yeah, we don't know when they are either.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to reach out. I'm happy to reach out to her. The quorum thing is a real issue. We need a quorum in order for our meetings to happen officially.
Well, I will make a motion to approve Carolyn contingent on the fact that she's able to attend the meeting.
I have a quick question. The more members we have, does that change the quorum?
It does, yeah. That's what Libby just said. Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So right now we have what? Christina, Albert, Kate, Nancy. Leslie, do you count towards quorum?
Yes.
Okay, so that's five. So right now we have to have three people. So if we had six people, then we'd have to have four people.
Yeah, so it needs to be more than 50%, is that correct? Mm-hmm. So with five, you need to have three. With six, you need to have four. So
we have four right now, so we keep it.
Well, with six, I mean, I guess we can think about it this way. If we have six, then we can have two people missing and still move forward. So
same with five.
We would still be able to move forward. Even if, like with the configuration we have today, we'd still be able to hold a meeting because we have four.
Well, I would suggest, if I made a motion, so if someone wants to second that, that's great. But Kate, I guess, you know, if you want to reach out to her, to Carolyn, and just make sure that she's able to attend the meeting once a month or once a quarter for an hour and a half. I mean, surely she can do that. And we always work on people's schedules as best we can anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, we try to set the meeting to knowing that people can come to the meetings mm-hmm. at that time. Yeah.
Leslie, did you have your hand up?
I do. Are the meetings going to continuously be electronically, or will they ever be in person again, or do we even know that? Because that might make it easier for some people to show up and not. So I'm just wondering.
No, that's a good point. My HOA is actually vacillating on that very point. We have out of.
There's definitely a desire with staff to keep things virtual because it makes things a little bit easier on staff. it's not impossible, but it does take a little bit more time to meet in person. And when you're meeting in person, people can't go out of town. Like Leslie couldn't be out of town right now joining us. So that's why keeping it virtual worked in a couple of, was a couple of positive points.
Leslie.
A lot of advisory councils and subcommittees are doing, oh, and you already suggested this, Libby, doing every other or once or twice a year in person. Or even, I haven't seen this happen, but I'm sure blended meetings are going to start happening as well. Like I think my Forest Lands Commission meeting in a few weeks, there'll be two people on Zoom and the rest of people sitting in a room. And I think that's kind of inevitable. But I would be in favor of having at least one meeting a year that's in person. And personally, I think it's okay if staff don't attend. Like it could just be an event where we are brainstorming and there's no action items or we're getting together, if that's a problem. So, but I think an in-person is really useful to connect every once in a while.
Totally. I agree with you on that, Leslie. And the only caveat I would add is that you wouldn't be able to get together without a staff person there to take minutes and do all of the meeting notification and all of the meeting updating, all the public releases that happen after the meeting. So if there was going to be a quorum full of people there, I'd probably need to be there. That's fine. I mean, if you wanted to do it without staff, you'd be basically making a working group that would be less than a quorum. So you're welcome to do that as well and get together in person.
It would be like a study session or something, right? That's what it turns into. The technicalities are weird, but I don't think we would magically become a, I don't know. Sorry. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I was just starting to think about how if our quorum is bigger than a working group won't be an official meeting more easily.
That goes the other way. Yeah. If you have six people, then three
of us can work on
people together, you don't have a quorum. And I don't have to be there and we don't have to, notice it and then put up the minutes, yada, yada, with three people if you have a six-person group.
So do I have a second to add Carolyn? I'd like to go ahead with it, and not fuss about the details. If we need to change our operations or change procedures based on our experience, we can do that. But I think we want the memberships.
Yeah, I'll second. Yes.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Our meeting now has six members, and you can now get together with three of you without it triggering public meeting law. Mm-hmm. And if you want to have a public meeting, you need to have at least four people who are on the committee gathering.
So just to follow up on that really quickly, I do need to run it through the Parks Commission at their next meeting. At their regular meeting, which will be July 13th, will be their regular meeting. So I'll make sure that goes to Rick Want, who's the current commission chair, and then through the Parks Commission. So this member will definitely be able to attend the next B-City meeting. Libby, can you make sure you send me that application so I can run it through? Mm-hmm. So you get a chance. Thanks.
Cool. Right. Of course, we couldn't do it ourselves. we're just the first step. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Project goals. We have three general categories. Supporting pollinator-friendly landscapes, which includes doing the outreach and the garden tours, education, and affecting systems. Let's see, how do we want to go through this? We have far more to discuss than we have time for.
Propose that with limited time, we could almost combine bullet two and bullet three, and we could have people, since you wanted to have the committee members kind of summarize what they've been working on over the last quarter, the question could be, what have you been working on and how does it tie with the the above stated goals, and then we could get some movement in both at the same time.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, thank you. I would like to hear how each member, you know, what sorts of things you are doing and where you place yourself in our goal efforts. And I'll start and try to be super brief. I'm working on the long-term stuff, the integration of the Firewise and Pollinator, the water conservation and native garden as a combined outreach, city action on water conservation as it relates to irrigation availability for gardens. But I want to be cognizant that we dropped the garden tour this year because it was going to be a lot of work in the kind of the 5-6 months we had. And our idea of having some Firewise gardens in the mix of pollinator gardens for the tour is going to take some work. So that actually needs to be a really we even talked about it before, that probably needs to be a working group that we come up with a plan and a time sequence of how do we get to that goal at what date next spring. So that's my two things. I did tabling at Earth Day, but I have not succeeded in getting more regular with Farmers Market or with Albert. Albert, how about you?
Well, I don't know. I'm just not much going on in relationship to my activity with Bee City. In the past I was doing the farmers market, and that hasn't happened the last couple of years. I'm open to seeing it happen again. It's in a new location over by SOU. Mm-hmm. So I guess I can pursue that and talk to somebody at the market about what that would take to do a table there again. I know they're open to that, but I just have to make it happen. So I'm going to be gone for part of the summer also. Other than that, I have nothing else to add to it. It's been kind of a challenging, frustrating time, but that's just the way things are these days.
It is. No, I know. I mean, I actually went to the farmer's market right before they moved, and I talked to the gal who's in charge, and I've got her name. I'll dig it up for you. I have the box that has our signs and our big banner and everything, because I borrowed that for Earth Day, and I'm going to take it back to North Mountain Park so we all have access to it. Tabling at the farmer's market can be really informal. There's a gal doing a compost collection right by the entrance, and she said we could sit there.
Okay.
Does it take more than one person to table together? Like, would Albert, would you need one of someone else to join you in order to make that work and get it all set up and have another person?
Not necessarily, no.
Okay.
No, it's nice to have two people there. And in the past, it was usually Christina and I, and that worked out really well. It's not necessary, though. Yeah.
From my perspective, it's more a matter of knowing that if we're going to do it, we do it with a known regularity, right? So that we become something that people anticipate seeing, and we have the ability to staff it so that it's not always on one person to be doing it. And of course, we know that Albert, you're super interested in any garden coordination, garden design, like East Main Park.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Christina.
I guess the only thing, one last thing is like, I know you're going to be gone, Kate, in August. Maybe we should look at starting in September. I don't know if that makes more sense. It makes more sense for me and my schedule at this point. Summers are very unpredictable, and I'm going to be gone a lot in big part of August also.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm suggesting that we're going to table at the farmer's market that we start in September.
Okay. How long does it run? Doesn't it only run until...
No, it runs until November, till the end of November.
Okay. Okay. All right. No, that's fine then. That's fine. Yeah.
Be a lot more possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Presumably reliable lower temperatures. Yes.
Yeah, I'm assuming. Could be wrong.
Yeah. Christina, I want to hold you to the last, because I know that the PPRV has just got a tremendous amount with the anthology going on. That's really cool. Leslie, do you want to have a say here as to what you've been able to, you know, put into your work that includes pollinators? Leslie?
Maybe she's having technical difficulties. I saw her unmute for just a moment.
Yeah.
She was moving too for a little bit.
There okay. She is.
I was trying to move to the sun because I was so cold, but the Wi-Fi wasn't working over there. So
okay.
I missed the last couple minutes of the conversation. I know someone said my name, and I'm involved in this this issue. So we were talking about is that we're talking about potential capstone and grant funding?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
no, I was asking you to go ahead and do your report. Go ahead.
So just in terms of the email communication that you and I have had, Catherine, and this kind of merging of the Wildfire Safety Commission and the BCity USA Native Pollinator Goals, I had a conversation with Jamie Trammell, who's the chair of our department, about that. And he sort of said that the best way to move forward with this type of thing is to have the group that's interested in working with SOU faculty or students as a capstone is to come up with a specific scope of work so that we can understand what the expectations are, what the project is, you know, a list of deliverables from us. So, and I guess I still had a lot of questions on our communication when we left off as to what was being asked. Yes, SOU and the ESP department is interested in working with it, but you know, like, you're not going to get faculty time without some sort of grant funding. I mean, without like them getting some sort of, at least some type of pay for their time. And I sent it along to our plant person. We have a brand new faculty member who's really going to be our plant person, Chaya Werner, who I forwarded to you. Knew. Oh, I know, am I freezing?
You're freezing, yeah.
Asking, but I have no idea how much this grant is for, and so I'll turn off the video. I guess there's two issues. There's the grant, which I guess the City of Ashland or the Wildfire Safety Commission is applying for. And I don't know how much that grant is for or what it's for. And then there's a potential capstone project. In my mind, it sounds like what the description was is basically like an app or a website that is an optimization tool that like allows gardeners to prioritize a couple different things like fire resilience and deer resistance, or and then get a list, generate a list of the plants that are appropriate for their property. That, and I don't know that undergrads have the skill to create a tool, like an online tool like that, but I might just be reading between the lines, Kate. That's kind of what I got from your email, is that that's what you're looking for, which would be like an app designer, if you wanted it on a phone or like a website. So we have a lot of questions. Jamie and I both, we had a conversation that more had more questions than answers. There's interest, but he sort of, his final word was, if we get a scope of work so we can understand what the ask is and what our role would be, that would be the most helpful.
Right. Okay. Then I'd like to suggest that I bring in either Brian Hendricks or Charisse, and you and Jamie. The Charisse has actually created a platform. And she was looking, anyway, so to meet about that, because she has a really specific idea of what needs to be done. She was looking for someone to fill in the database that exists with pollinator information. What I've seen, and so the City of Ashland is actually preparing to use that database, and was thought they had a grant that would help pay for completion of it, but needed a partner applicant. And so the whole, all the timelines for applying for it have shifted since I first heard about it, because we didn't act at the time. So I think it's worth trying to meet and see if there's a mutual desire to, because it would bring funding for someone, prof, students, to spend time working on it, both as a database completion, but also a policy project.
I have a question about that. Is this just going to be for the City of Ashland, or is this going to be for a broader area, or what is this project for?
Yeah, well, Charisse was trying to focus down. It can be really broadly used as long as the information, the plants in it are appropriate for your region.
Mm-hmm.
But she's specifically looking for what are plants that meet all of the criteria, from water wise to pollinator value to fire wise in the Rogue Valley.
Mm-hmm. In the Rogue Valley.
So it's really meant to be a regionally applicable tool,
okay.
But it's going to draw on kind of West Coast and Native Plant Society. There's a lot of existing resources. The issue is she's trying to integrate the information into one place.
Seems to me like that kind of specificity, I don't think I said that right, but still relatively broad. I mean, like the Rogue Valley, does that include Rogue River, so that their plants could be a little different than, you know, the side of Tolman Creek Road, right? I mean, maybe somebody at OSU could help with this.
So, you know, there is a little bit of a definition issue because see, when I talk to Xerces, they're going to want to work on a statewide basis.
Right.
But all of the plant selectors look at your microclimate.
Right.
So, I don't think it's either or, but in terms of the content, the types of plants that go into this initial part of the database, we're interested in the Rogue River watershed and the related watersheds.
Exactly. So OSU and Central Point working with Corvallis. Anyway, it just seems like they would already have Gail Angeletto and her team could help with all of that.
There may be. It's just, you know, you remember the conversations we had with Charisse where she was on her own path, and yet I'm looking and it's like, I think there's other resources out here.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you had mentioned some of them in your write-up, Rachel Whirling and so forth. That would be good.
But she's, I was just talking to her this week, and she's meeting with Brian Hendricks. I mean, they want to move forward with this, just like any other, you know, we've been talking about how slow things have been on our side and with the city budget. Same thing's going on in the fire department. They've been understaffed. There aren't very many FireWise assessments happening either. But they want this thing to get developed, and it's somewhere between an IT project and a policy project and a integration project that'll have a lot of value for advising everyone who's gardening, everyone who's growing anything in the Rogue Valley.
So I just wanted to get this comment in before we get too far along. One of the items in the minutes was that if we're going to be looking at gardens, continuing to look at pollinator gardens, and if we're supposed to also check out the FireWise applicability or not, depending, that we were going to have some sort of review or tour or something like that. So maybe sometime when people are back in town, that's something that we can put on the agenda, a working committee or something. I don't know what a FireWise garden looks like. I don't know what a FireWise pollinator garden is like.
Right. No, you're right. We actually had we were going to form a working group, but mm-hmm. You know, the people that were going to be in that group have been out of town, and as we know, it's summer.
Yes, it is. Not a problem. I just want to mention it again.
Yeah.
And I do think that it makes sense that in order to plan the tour for a year from now, mm-hmm. a working group of folks need to get together to map out what that criteria looks like and what that lens looks like. Putting that lens on our approved pollinator gardens is going to require understanding what a FireWise pollinator garden looks like. So like the working group will have to first figure out the lens on how do we see a pollinator garden as either FireWise or not. Mm-hmm. What are we looking for? And then we'd want to then involve those gardeners, if anybody does qualify or anyone has exhibits characteristics that are FireWise, even if they don't qualify full stop, but they exhibit these characteristics, we'd want to work with those gardeners over the course of the year to be some of the ones we want to feature next June.
And do we know if there's been any crossover between the pollinator garden list and the FireWise landscape approvals that Charisse has?
I don't think so, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, probably not.
Particularly since I haven't talked with Nancy. Okay, we're running out of our meeting. Christina has been super active. The Pollinator Project is really doing some phenomenal outreach and work this year. So if you haven't seen it, you all need to go to their website and look at the anthology and promote it to your gardening friends and other friends too. They've had two public events. I went to the one briefly in Ashland, but there was one over in Phoenix earlier. Christina, how would you summarize your varied activities?
Thanks, Kate, for coming to one of the events. And you know, I realize I never really did announce it to the B-City team. Sorry about that. I guess I put it out, and we put it out in the media, and I never went back and invited people. So it was lovely. The show's closed. It was at Catalyst Ashland Gallery, the old Ashland Art Center. So I was there for 2 months. I had nothing to do with this idea. It was dropped in PPRB's lap. Basically, two women came and made the proposal, and we said, yes, of course. So the book is still there, and it's a beautiful and amazing book. Eden Orlando put it together, originally a 100-page book, and now 300-plus full color, a full chock full of educational information. And we had sponsors, so we raised enough money to print the book, 200 copies, and we're working on selling them now. We have some pre-sales. So it was an amazing collaboration of artists throughout the valley, definitely centered on artists here in the Southern Oregon and our pollinators. And so the book has a section for each of the different pollinators and children's activities and so forth and so on. It's quite amazing, Eden's vision. And then Rebecca Ram, who was part of it, she brought in the gallery aspect. And so we had a lovely show hanging for the 2 months. So we're just trying to finish up on that. And that's one reason you haven't heard any news from me for 2 months, practically, because I've been swamped. But the book is wonderful. And other than this sort of one embarrassing error that's in there, my goal is to actually ask either Laura Ross, I think that's how you say her name, from Xerces, or maybe I'll send it to Bob Kyle directly, and ask him if he would like to review the book and maybe put in something for our next edition of it. So the book is available. $40 is the regular, and $70 is the special edition, is what we're calling it. The other things I've been doing, thanks for giving me the opportunity to advertise that. The other things that I've been doing, still in touch a little bit with Mountain Meadows. I just missed the finally, they Riverwalk got together. I had it on my agenda multiple times, and every time it either rained or froze. So I never made it to the Riverwalk garden gathering when they were doing some maintenance there. And then the day that they did gather, I already had another commitment. I couldn't make it. So I need to add that to my list of things to do to follow up with Solomon and also Harry. I don't remember his last name. He's sort of leading that to make it over there. And then,
do we know if anything happened with the Oak Knoll garden? Because it sounded like those folks were going off on their own.
Yeah, he never followed back up with me. And then in the last couple of weeks, I've had a conversation with two other HOAs, one about no pesticides and one about wanting to change the HOA their landscaping to more pollinator plants. I'm not going to say their names because this is just a conversation that I've had so far with them, but nothing's gone, you know, further. So I'm hoping I'll have more information about that another time, and to bring in the Bee City aspect of that. And I guess that's all. Oh, and then we're either at or almost at 90 approved gardens, keeping in mind that some of these people have already moved away, so they may or may not no longer be maintaining it, but we have approved over the time of our X number of years. So
there were, in going back through my my emails preparing for the meeting, I saw three applications for gardens. And then I gave Nancy a list of addresses to consider. Are you two doing the inspections?
Yes, we just did one, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. And then I know we have three more in the queue, because I see them in my inbox that would be sent out, and I haven't had time to do anything like that. And then I know Nancy's been obviously super busy with Hanley Farm sales and so forth. Mm-hmm. The plant sales that they've had. So we have those three still to do, and I saw your long list for us to, you know, check those out. But we haven't done anything more. So we'll get those three that have already submitted.
Right. One of them was Paula Brown, and her she's got a vineyard out on the other side of the freeway from town.
Which one is that? Which
Paula Brown?
Okay, yeah. We'll follow up on it. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So we're out of town. I mean, we're out of town. We're out of time. Leslie is already gone. And Rachel. Each of you need to have your volunteer hour numbers for Libby. If you don't have it right now, please email it to her. You want the January to March, the first 3 months?
I think a couple of people might have given me January through March. I'm sorry, I didn't get to check who it was, but I've been forwarding those along as you send them to me, and I would really appreciate your estimates. If you go, you know, between January and March, what's your estimate? Between March and today, what's your estimate? It does not have to be perfectly accurate. You don't have to be sitting there with a timer on your desk, but a general estimate is so helpful, because if you don't even have that, then it looks like there's no record of the amount of volunteerism that our committee members are giving to the city. And I think it becomes especially important if people are questioning whether or not subcommittees and citizen commissions are important. And if that discussion is happening at the city council level, then please do submit your hours that you're contributing toward initiatives that help the city and help our work, because we're tallying that up to demonstrate the importance.
Right. Things like the time that you spend doing garden requests. I logged the time that I spent tabling.
So send me what you have. If you already sent me the first part of the year, great. If we're looking at, I think for most people, we're looking at from the last meeting to this one.
Okay. And then for our next meeting, I was going to suggest the September, let me see if that's the second or third week, September 19th, the third week of September. With Leslie gone, I'm not sure whether that is in advance. I think that's right the week before school starts. I'm not sure if there's any good time in September, you know, before school starts or after it starts. For her, but that's been part of our maneuvering, was to try to accommodate her and her teaching schedule. But I will be out of town until about the 10th of September. So that's why the third week works for me. I don't know that we need to pin it down any more than that, but do the others, Christine or Albert, have any preference about when the meeting would be in September?
Mid-September, that's fine with me, more or less. I mean, probably better for me later in the day than earlier in the day. That's just my work schedule usually.
And we had been in the afternoons. Right. All the other meetings except this one were at 3 or 3:30.
I could do, as of now, I don't have any major conflicts. I'd rather not do Monday the 19th or Friday the 23rd. So I guess that's maybe my preference would be Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday of that week.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Tuesday the 20th through the 22nd.
That's fine with me.
Perhaps what I can do is put together a doodle poll for those 3 days in the middle of the week, and maybe the 3 days in the middle of the week prior to, just so the doodle includes a few options.
Okay.
So shooting for afternoon times on the 14th through the 16th, or afternoon times on the 21st through the 23rd. I'm looking at the wrong month. Never mind. You get the numbers were wrong, but the middle of the weekdays.
13th to the 14th. 15th.
Prior. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would that be okay? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I want to wrap it up. Thanks for staying a few minutes late, everybody. I will get back to the mayor and work with Libby about getting a different kind of pollinator proclamation out of the city council. Starting a working group to plan the garden tour for next year. I think that each of us has our own things that we do that are all very pollinator supportive, but that one is a really specific project that takes some focus and can't be done in a rush.
And I'll send the meeting minutes with action items, but I've noticed that recently some of the action items that I've been creating, they're a little more nebulous than I might like because we don't have a name in front of them. It does not necessarily saying Kate will do this. In some cases we have action items that like we should do something like this. So some of the action items might come out that way, but I will try to make them as explicit as possible.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
All right. Great. Thanks everybody. And Christina, I will send a link to your anthology to Laura Ross. I was just talking to her about the capstone project, the database project.
Would you mind if I do that? I'd rather reach out to her if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you. Yep. Thank you for the idea.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.